Welcome back. It is so good to see you. Speaking of sights, I'd like you to think for a few moments about the most stunning, beautiful scene that you have ever beheld. What is the most stunning, beautiful scene that you have ever laid eyes upon? Over Christmas break, my wife and I got to fly out to California so I could speak at a youth conference. And it was hosted by a wonderful church in Los Angeles, some of whom, the members of whom are here, members of which are here this morning. I'll tell you, Los Angeles is not like Beaver Falls. Los Angeles is warm. Los Angeles has a sun in the sky, and the sun works. And Los Angeles has an ocean. I think they think they own it, but it goes beyond that. And on one of the conference days, we got to go to the beach. Now, the ocean water was a bit cold. It was, after all, late December, but I didn't care. I had to swim in it, and I had to let the waves knock me around for a little while. It was wonderful. I was frolicking, and I don't care who knows it. At one point in my frolicking, I looked up, and maybe just a couple of hundred feet beyond me, I saw dolphins swimming together, moving through the water, arcing up and above the waves, and then diving back in. It was amazing. But just yesterday, I saw something even more amazing. Just outside my office in Old Main, there was a group of people out there, and they were all smiles. And when I went outside my office, I found out why. They were meeting Dr. Watt's baby granddaughter. People are in awe of her, and naturally so. She is adorable. And though the City of Angels is wonderful, this little lady can make an ocean seem ordinary. She has a transcendent beauty about her, and not just because she's Dr. Watt's granddaughter. But primarily because she is related to God. She is what the Bible calls an image bearer of God. In Genesis 1, we learn that God makes mankind, humanity, in his image. In other words, people are like God. We can relate to God and we represent him. We have souls which last forever, and we think and act and speak in ways that can only merely be mimicked by animals or any other part of creation. Even in our infancy, in fact, especially at times in our infancy, we are living testimonies to the Lord of life. The Lord is a being of power so inconceivably great that he can create out of nothing. And he is a being of care so intimately gentle that David describes him as knitting David together in his mother's womb, as we sang just a few minutes ago. And in Genesis 2, from which we read just a few minutes ago, God is described twice in the verses 6 through 9 as forming man, as taking special care and attention, as breathing life into this creature he called man and making him a living creature. And the opening pages of God's word let us know that of all of God's good creation, humanity is his most magnificent work. God has a universe full of wonders, but most wondrous of all in his eyes are the ones he forms with such special care. Think of some of God's great wonders. Think of the clearest, starriest night sky. Think of a sparkling, sunlit ocean in which dolphins play and chaplains frolic. Think of the deep, wintry woods during a silent snowfall. And now think of this. Right now, as you sit here, you are surrounded by 1,000 or so creations who are far more stunning, and far more significant than any one of those seams or all of them together. You yourself are one of those wonders. You are all, every single one of you, image bearers of Almighty God. Every one of you is more spectacular than the most stunning scene nature has to display. Now you can measure and calculate the light and the heat of the sun, but you can't quantify the radiance and the warmth of a human smile, especially a baby's. It's in its own category. It is beautiful above and beyond the rest of creation. It is uniquely demonstrative of the power and the glory and the goodness of God. You are His image bearers. That is who you are. That is what you are worth. How far, then, have we fallen in our day from this vision of humanity, from this truth? 1 week from today in Washington, D.C., the annual March for Life will happen. Now, this march is a positive statement about the value of every single human life. And of course, it's also a protest against the snuffing out of that life by way of abortion, taking out the youngest among us, the unborn. Now, friends, do you realize that if statistics hold true today, that by the end of this day, well over 2,000 children will be killed between our shores? Alive this morning, hearts beating, gone by the time tomorrow dawns. Friends, that is a September 11th sized slaughter every single day in this country. Now, double the number of people in this room, and that's about how many people will more than likely die today. And let's call them what they are. Not fetuses, but children, image bearers, people. And of course, more murders than those will take place in our nation. People who've survived the womb will be killed in the streets. They'll be gunned down, sometimes over the most meaningless matters. And in other cases, though blood may be shed, people's souls will be torn. How many times among us in this very group today will we murder one another in our hearts with hateful thoughts? Will we speak arrogantly and harshly to or about one another? In the book of James, we read in chapter 3, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." Now, they ought not to be so, but of course we know very well that they are so. How? And why? Well, it's because we have forgotten who we are as human beings, what every single one of us is worth. And that forgetfulness rises out of a willing forgetfulness of the one whose image we bear. A low view of humanity results from a low view of the God who reveals himself in this book. See, all year in chapel, we've been diving into these big, basic, beautiful truths from the Bible and about the Bible. And friends, the Bible is the definitive word on humanity. But our culture has hopped a philosophical bullet train away from the Bible, and therefore away from a true understanding of who we are, a true understanding of why we are, and a true understanding of whose we are. And so it's no mere coincidence that in our mad rush to replace God as the sovereign of life, the The lives of tens of millions of children have been lost over the last few decades alone. Breaking away from the Bible hurts humanity. Now, part of our literally hell-bent efforts to be rid of God and what he tells us in his word about being human, part of those efforts are the lies that we sometimes tell pregnant moms about the lives which they carry within them. Scared moms who feel like they have no options, who feel pressured to abort, who are told that what they carry within them is simply a sack of chemicals easily discarded. Lies. Lies which disrespect the life that those moms carry, and lies which disrespect the mothers themselves. Now, I've done post-abortion counseling. I've seen the tears flowing from the eyes of a mom who's made a horrible choice, a choice whose significance she did not fully understand, but whose implications she could not escape. The loss of any human life is a terribly traumatic thing. And no wonder, given the wonders that we are as humans. But I've seen in those same tear-filled eyes, tears of joy. Because that particular mom that I'm thinking of has come before God and found forgiveness and healing in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, it is not by any means easy healing, and it is not immediate, but it is real, and it is supernatural. It is the power of the living God. It is the outworking of the grace of a Savior whose sinless life and whose substitutionary death on behalf of all who would ever be brought to faith in him, and whose real bodily resurrection are more powerful than murder and more powerful than all of our sin. More powerful, in fact, than the hold that hell has upon us until we are brought to him. You see, the Bible is indeed the definitive word on humanity, but the Bible's primary focus is the God who is making a new humanity through Jesus Christ, based on Christ's work and applied by the Holy Spirit. All people belong to God, but you who know God by faith in Jesus Christ, you are the new, or we could say the renewed humanity. You are forgiven. You are saved. You belong to God in a way that eclipses even the glory of bearing his image. In fact, it completes the glory of bearing his image. In Romans 8:29, we read, "For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Think of that, friends. Conformed, formed with, to the image, the character, and the likeness of no one less than Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. You who know Christ are day by day being conformed to his image. And that is a relationship which is absolutely astounding and which amazes even the angels. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, we read this. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out what time and circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things." The angels are in awe of what you have in Christ. Are you in awe of it? Do you know who you really are Do you know why you are? Do you know whose you are? In a day that is so dominated by death and the devaluing of life, you who are alive in Jesus Christ must lead the way in teaching and demonstrating the value of every single human life. And we do that, of course, by pointing people in word and deed to the Lord of life. Now, 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, in chapel, we'll focus on some of the particulars of how that pointing happens, the practical outworking of this principle. But for the remainder of our time this morning, let's focus on that principle and the purpose of the new humanity. David writes in verse 14 of Psalm 139, and again, we sang it earlier. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. You who know Christ are God's most wondrous work twice over. You are made in God's image and being remade according to the character of Christ. Now back to our reading from Isaiah just before the message. Listen here once again and specifically for the language of God's forming a people. And it's all cast in the context of his redeeming them. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth, break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, spread out the earth by myself. Note the emphasis on all of creation called to praise God for his most magnificent work, his recreating a people in Christ. Isaiah chapter 43, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, who are these people? Well, they are human beings, both Jew and Gentile, who look by faith to the Messiah, to the Son of God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, in the New Testament era, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The recreation out of fallen humanity is God's most magnificent work. And then Ephesians 2:10, which we read, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. More from God's word. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Friends, knowing the Lord of life means knowing the meaning and the value of life. You think of how our nation so often treats the littlest lives among us, and then think of the Lord Jesus as he's pictured in the Gospels, holding those babies, and they are babies, the Greek word is specific, the tiniest of children in his hands, holding them, cradling them, blessing them. And he says before the crowd that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, and that no one who does not receive the kingdom of heaven like these little ones will receive that kingdom. And so when Jesus holds forth these little ones as exemplary of the way to receive the kingdom, it's no wonder that Satan has such a vendetta against them. Why our culture is so heavily under his influence. As we conclude, for you who don't know Christ, you must realize that you too are under that satanic influence. So far, at least, you have believed the lie that you don't need Jesus, that you don't need the Lord of heaven and earth as Savior. Abandon that lie and cry out to Christ in faith, and he promises that any who do so, he will never cast out. And for you who know him, you are the personification, the object of God's gracious, saving power. Your relationship to the Lord is the object of angelic awe. It is worth rejoicing over, and dare I say, it is worth frolicking over. It is worth singing over. It is worth living for. It is your life. He is your life. Let's pray. Our great and our gracious God, we thank you for another day of life. We thank you for the privilege of waking up this morning and breathing even now. We thank you that through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you uphold all things. We pray for your grace to guide us. We pray that we would look upon one another and ourselves and see the value that you have declared is there. Pray that we would value image-bearing life and love it and labor for it. We pray for forgiveness and healing and strength for all who have been scarred deeply by the many ways in which life is taken and assaulted in our culture. We pray for healing and strength in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. We pray that all of our thoughts and words and deeds would redound to his glory. We ask in his name, amen.